I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Never seen the sky so blue. Birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It is a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, hey,
hey, hey, hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny day.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos and Ton Bettis with you this morning. The number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. We are starting the 9 o'clock hour talking about artichokes. And, Ton, this was prompted by one of my Facebook friends who wanted to know more about artichokes. He had heard that you needed to plant them now if you were going to plant them. And when I started doing a bit of research, I found that, yeah, if you're going to plant them, you pretty much need to plant them now.
Well, fortunately, you can get artichokes from local garden centers that are already started.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that possibility. But if you are growing them, you actually need to have started them because they need to be planted out about a month before your average last frost. So that would be mid-April for the Wasatch Front. And then sometime around maybe the 1st of May for Cache Valley or Heber or other mountain valleys. So, yeah, they do need to get out now. And the other thing, though, is they like that cool weather. And that's what initiates flower bud productions later. We eat those flower buds. Those are the actual artichokes. But if you put them out too late, they don't get flowers.
Right. I had never thought of growing artichokes. I love them, but I'd never even considered it. Didn't realize they grew here.
They kind of do. How's
that? Okay, that's what I want to know.
Because artichokes in their native habitat are perennials. And so here in the United States, areas in the South and California, because of the Mediterranean climate, are perfect for artichoke because it gets cool enough in the winter that you don't have to dig them up,
mm-hmm.
and it initiates flower productions. But then to get a really good harvest, you need a long summer. So here, to get them to go, you would put them in as start sometime about a month before your average last frost. But what I would recommend doing is either putting them in low tunnels or in black plastic. So you'd stretch black plastic over your row and then plant them into the black plastic. So that way, during the day, you know, they're getting warmed up, but at night they're still getting those cooler temperatures. And if you'll do that, you will double or triple your production during the summer.
Right. Okay. So where in particular would they want to plant them if in their yard?
Anywhere that they get lots of sun. So I don't know that I would put them, you know, and cook them to death, you know.
So maybe not the west side.
Yeah, well, and even that might be okay if they're away from the building a little bit.
Oh, okay, so they're not getting the reflection of that
heat.
Yeah,
just so that they can make sure and get that those cool temperatures during the spring. So once they do that, then you're going to do whatever you can to extend the growing season out. And those hotter temperatures, because the artichokes are super popular in Europe, in places like Italy and Greece and, you know, North Africa. And that long Mediterranean summer makes it so that they get lots of production. And so to do that here, it's cool in the spring, but then is, you know, those warm temperatures during the summer okay.
Any particular water needs?
They are very shallow rooted. And so what you would do when you plant them, if they're not in plastic, that plastic mulch, is you would put 2 or 3 inches of grass clippings or compost around the base so that it keeps the roots cooler and helps the water in there. But they need 1 to 2 inches of water weekly spread out over 2 or 3 applications. The other thing that they're going to need to maximize that growth is that after they've been in for about a month, you're going to fertilize them with a couple of tablespoons of triple 16 or 20-00 monthly so that you can keep the nitrogen levels up.
All right. And Caitlin has already put up on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page a full article for you if you'd like some more information as well.
Should mention really quick that yes. The artichokes are not cold hardy anywhere, maybe in Utah, except St. George. And so in the winter, after they've been knocked back by hard frost, you cover the crown, you've cut the branches back, and you cover the crown with 2 or 3 inches of soil and then pile another foot of leaves on top of it to see if you can overwinter it. For colder areas, you're going to dig them up and put them in barely moist peat moss or sawdust and store them in your root cellar until the next year.
So, all right. So there is that possibility of overwintering.
There is.
Okay. Thank you. Let's go back to Cheryl. We kind of lost her last go around. Cheryl, good morning. How can we help you this morning?
I love hummingbirds, and my granddaughter told me that they really like vermilion plants. Do you know anything about that?
Well, there are a number of different... Any flower that's tubular-shaped will attract hummingbirds in. And so honeysuckles and trumpet vines, any flowers with those general shape, that's tubular flowers, have the possibility of attracting hummingbirds in. And so vermilion plant would be one that would do that.
Is that hardy here?
No, it's going to die at the end of the season, so you'd have to just get new starts every year.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not the worst thing in the world. So.
Yeah, so vermilion plant is also known as Cufia in the nursery trade. And so if someone hasn't heard of vermilion plant, you may have heard of Cufia. It's a little less common, but it is available.
Okay, well, thanks for your help.
All right, Cheryl. And I love hummingbirds, too, so I get it. Next listener would like to know, Ton, if it's a good time to trim rose bushes.
It is. Anytime in mid-March for the Wasatch Front and late March to early April for colder mountain valleys.
Okay. Next person has 2 black walnut trees. The trees are huge. They say if they understand right, they cross-pollinate between each other. For a single anyway, they get so many walnuts that there's just a big mess. Is there any way to prevent them from producing?
No, unfortunately. You know, my snarky response would be, oh, cut it down.
Don't do that.
It's because they're wind pollinated. If you have walnut trees in the neighborhood, chances are you're going to get walnuts.
All right. Next person says they have a large bridal wreath spirea that has overgrown its spot. Can they divide it or cut it back drastically, or could they move it? And when would they do that? They live in Cottonwood Heights.
If it's that big, they're probably going to kill it trying to move it. So I would cut it back, but... You know, if it's not that big of a deal, let it flower because it'll have those beautiful spring flowers. And after that, within a week or so, as soon as it's done, go in and take out about 25% of the branches at the base. You cut the worst offending branches out. They're the biggest and tallest. So the what you take out equals about a quarter of the canopy or 25% of the branches, and then you can give it a light haircut. But this renewal pruning, if people will do that, is such a useful tool for keeping a shrub in check.
With so many things.
Yeah, and not brutalizing it. You know, if you go cut that to 3 feet, you know, you've pretty much lopped it off at the knees, and it will take 3 or 4 or 5 years to recover. But if you do renewal pruning, you will still have a beautiful shrub that's about half the size.
The number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. We'll be right back.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.
Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Anton with you. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. Back to our phone lines, and Ray is in Riverton. And good morning, Ray. What is your question?
We've had friends recommend a couple of tomato varieties that we haven't planted in the past. And these friends don't live in Utah. I'm just wondering what your opinions are on Purple Cherokee and San Marzano.
San Marzanos I've grown, and they do fine. They're supposed to be the premier paste tomato, you know, because they're in that Roma group. And so I've grown Amish paste, I've grown San Marzano and a few others. And, you know, I personally, you know, I'm not like I've got to have a garden full of paste tomatoes either, but they were fine. And the Cherokee Purple here, because of our hot weather, has a tendency to crack. And any of those purple tomatoes, the ones I've grown, seem to be thin-skinned. And whether it was Cherokee Purple or like Russian Black, or there's several of them, they just have a tendency to crack a little more. And so you're going to maybe covering them with a 20 to 30% shade cloth over, if you've ever seen low tunnels, a lot of growers are starting to take the plastic off the low tunnels when it gets warm. And then when they start seeing flower buds initiated on the plants, they will recover the plants when we get into the 90s with a 20 to 30% shade cloth that filters out some sunlight. And that seems to reduce cracking. It seems to reduce sun scald and increase the yield. But if you're growing those kinds of tomatoes, that would increase your success.
Okay, very good. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Have a good day.
You too, Ray. Thanks for your call this morning. The next person, Ton, is asking about their espalier apple tree. They say it's planted on the southwest side of their house, and it seems like it's never really gone dormant. They're wondering if it's the spot's too warm for the tree and if it'll ever get fruit. It didn't go dormant throughout the winter.
Well, the younger apple trees sometimes have a tendency to hold leaves through the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And all is not lost. All they can do is be patient and see how the tree does. But because there's a few leaves on there, you will see that on younger plants sometimes. And although it may not be the best thing, I would suspect that the apple is okay. Can't guarantee it, but those are my suspicions.
All right. The next person says they heard us talking about pruning peach trees and that peaches only grow on that 1 year wood. They want to know if that's true for apples as well.
Nope. Any other fruit tree, you get generally fruit on 2 to 5 year old wood.
Okay.
Depending on the particular ones. That's a little overly simplified, but
right.
It generally, peaches are the only fruit trees that we commonly grow that have fruit only on 1 year old wood.
All right. Rod is in Harriman. Good morning, Rod. What is your question this morning?
Good morning. I was interested in two things. Number one, I have some blackberries, and they're about 3 years old. And I had really good some blackberries for the first 2 years. And last year, they produced the berry, but they would start to turn black, and then they would just dry up and just go hard. I was wondering, I had pruned them the year before, you know, last year. Any idea what's caused that, the fruit to turn hard like that?
Well, there could be a number of different causes for it. And it's really hard to say. Sometimes sunscald can do that, especially if it's the side of the blackberry that is facing the sun. If they're not shaded enough, then are some different little beasties out there that will do that. And there's also some viral diseases that will do it. So was it every last blackberry or just some of them?
There were a few that did mature and were nice and juicy. But I had just a lot of them that were just dried up and turned just brown and hard. And I think they were getting plenty of water. Enough water, but they are against a white vinyl fence.
Well, white doesn't reflect a lot of heat back. If it was black, you know, then just because that black heats up a lot more, it could be problematic. Let me ask another question. The fruit that did ripen, were they more on the inside of the plant where they would have received more shade?
I didn't pay attention to that. But I will this year. I will this year and see what happens.
That is something to pay attention to, because usually if it's 90% of the blackberries, that would be something cultural, like sunscald. You know, you could have a pest in there, but you know, it's just really hard to say for sure without pictures and things. But sunscald is one. Spider mite sometimes can cause that. And then there's other beetles and things that can get in there. And there are also viruses. And so, you know, there's spotted wing Drosophila that can cause some of this. There's just so many things that can cause these dry fruit. But if it was most of them, that's usually something cultural and not an insect pest.
Okay. Should I prune them back this spring?
Prune them as normal. There's a couple of fact sheets on our Facebook page on pruning blackberries. Minimally, I would take out the dead wood, because the wood that produced last year's berries won't bear anymore and it's going to be dead. And so the one-year-old growth will produce this year's berries.
Oh, okay. All right. And then a second question. You were talking about renewal pruning. I have a Birkwood viburnum. Can I do that renewal pruning on that also?
As soon as it is done blooming.
As soon as it's done blooming.
Yes. Let it bloom and then go ahead and do renewal pruning on that, and it will bring the size down and maintain your flowers.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right, Rod, thanks for your call this morning. Our next listener, Ton, says every year their rhubarb gets spots on the leaves. They're yellow around the outside, then red, then brown in the middle, and it ends up killing the plant back in the late spring, and then it comes back the next year, and it starts all over again. They're wondering what it could be and what they should do about it.
Well, it sounds like they have a fungal disease in there, and some of them to watch for, I'm trying to remember the actual name of the rhubarb disease. They're usually pretty good, but there is a fungal disease that gets in them that will come back, and it oftentimes just involves digging it up and planting a new plant somewhere else. There's a rhubarb curculio that could get in there. But it's usually a fungal disease, and if it is problematic to the point that it's causing the rhubarb to not really be productive, I would recommend getting a new plant and putting it in a new spot.
All right. Next listener says, should Bing cherries be pruned in a similar way to other fruit trees? For example, should it be trained to an open center, central leader, or modified central leader that same way?
Well, we like to prune them into open center. Mm-hmm. And I know of a couple of major orchards that do the same. But the actual recommended pruning is to train them into what's called a modified central leader. And so that would involve letting the main trunk grow. And then when it gets, you know, anywhere from 10 to 12 feet in the air, depending on the rootstock and a number of other things, you nip that main leader out and then let it go sideways. And so the modified central leader is the recommended for sweet cherries, but I see lots of people do open center and they seem to do okay on it. So it, on this one, I'm hedging a little bit and would say take your pick, but if you want to do it according to the books, modified central leader is what's recommended.
Okay, and it's time now for a brand new feature on the KSL Greenhouse Show. It's our new gardening calendar, and you'll hear it every Saturday at this time. It's called Dig Around Town, and you can also find more about this calendar if you missed something or you want to take more notes. You can find more about it on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page or at our website.
You're about to become the envy of your neighborhood, and it's so simple. Just let Utah State University Extension turn you into an expert gardener. At Utah State University Extension, their online gardening courses include creating a perfect garden soil, controlling and maintaining garden pests, growing a healthy lawn, amazing annuals and popping perennials, planting healthy trees and shrubs, as well as cultivating fruits and nuts. Want a container vegetable garden? Here's how it happens. All that, along with so many other ideas, all for just $25 per course. But if you use the promo code SAVE20, you'll get 20% off. The Utah State University Extension will really help you step up your gardening game. Get started. Get gardening. Learn more by visiting garden.usu.edu. You're about to become the envy of your neighborhood. Just let Utah State University Extension turn you into an expert gardener. That's garden.usu.edu.
With KSL Greenhouse.
Dig Around Town is brought to you by Utah State University Extension. Check out monthly gardening tips and online gardening courses at garden.usu.edu. Water conservation is critical to Utah's long-term sustainability. On Tuesday, March 9th, learn how to manage water use by using local weather station data. Find out more at garden.usu.edu. Make the most of your park strip with Weber Basin Water Conservancy District on Thursday night, March 10th. More information at weberbasin.com. Are weeds winning the battle over your yard? Spring is one of the best times to get ahead on weed control. Take a free online class Thursday night, March 11th. Find out more at the Conservation Garden Park's website at conservationgardenpark.org. Red Butte Gardens spring bling gets underway in mid-March. Different bulb varieties peak at different times through early May. Just imagine 500,000 blooming bulbs. Wasatch Community Garden spring plant sale will be online again this year. You will find over 75 varieties of tomatoes, herbs, edible perennials, and more. The sale online March 22nd and 28th at wcgplantsale.org. This week's quick tip, 50 degrees Fahrenheit is an important consideration for cool season gardening and lawn care. When planting cool season crops, soil temperatures need to be around 50 degrees in early spring before planting seeds and transplants outdoors. Plus, if you're thinking about applying a pre-emergent to prevent weeds such as crabgrass, the same soil temperature of 50 degrees is important. Applying when it's too cold is a waste of money.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.